November 5th, Blessed Jane Mary of Mailh, Widow, Third Order. Jane, the daughter of the wealthy Baron of Mailh, was born at the chateau of her father near St. Quentin in France. Because she possessed from her earliest youth a tender devotion and love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was given the additional name of Mary at confirmation. And from then on, she always used it with her baptismal name. Under the direction of a Franciscan who conducted the divine services at the chateau, she strove earnestly to attain perfection. Self-denial, mortification, prayer, and works of charity towards her neighbor were the special means she employed. She was scarcely 15 years old when her father died. Jane Mary was placed under the guardianship of her grandfather, who was already quite advanced in years, and who therefore believed it his duty to see his grandchild settled in life as soon as possible. He chose as her husband Baron Robert of Cilly, a man who was noble by birth and by virtue. On the evening of their wedding day, the grandfather died suddenly. This made such an impression on the pious husband that he readily yielded to the wish of his young wife to live in virginity. The young couple's first concern was to order their household in a Christian fashion. Only virtuous and God-fearing persons were admitted as their servants. All had to observe the commandments of God and of the Church faithfully. Frivolous conversations, cursing and swearing, as well as games of chance, were not tolerated. In everything, their master and mistress set the best example. Jane Mary interested herself also in the needs of her people, and never sent a needy person away from her door without giving him assistance. But the cross is the real test of all true fidelity towards God, and it was not to be wanting in this house either. A terrible war broke out between England and France. The Baron of Cilly and his vassals took the field in defense of their country. But the war was disastrous for France. Mortally wounded, the Baron was brought to his chateau. But hardly had he arrived there when the English took possession of it and led him away as a prisoner. Through the efforts of his faithful wife, he obtained his freedom, but he died not long afterwards. Now Jane withdrew entirely from the world. She left her vast possessions in the hands of relatives while she moved to a little house near the Franciscan church in Tours. Dressed in the ash-gray habit of the Third Order, she went out to nurse the sick and the poor. The remaining time she spent in prayer. She prayed especially that God might bless the labors of priests, particularly those who preached the divine word. She prayed most of all for the universal church, which at that time had to endure one of its severest trials. Christendom was divided into two groups. One pope resided in Italy, another in France, and even saintly people did not know which one was the rightful head of the church. Confusion and many scandals were the inevitable results. Had the church been the work of human hands, it must certainly have gone to ruin. In answer to the prayers of many pious souls, God came to the assistance of the church, and Jane Mary had the consolation before her death of seeing the church again united under one head. She died in the year 1414 at the age of 82 years. When her remains, clothed in the habit of the Third Order, were brought into the church, the body appeared to have the freshness of youth. The veneration paid to her since her death was approved by Pope Pius IX. Praying for priests and for Holy Church. Like Jane Mary, all believing and devout Christians have ever held in high esteem the blessed labors of good priests. Our Holy Father Saint Francis says in his testament, "We should honor all theologians and those who interpret the Word of God as persons who impart to us spirit and life." But to enable them to do that, much grace and blessing from heaven are necessary. And this the faithful should draw down on the priests by their prayers. Therefore, the apostle writes to the Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the charity of the Holy Ghost, that you help me in your prayers for me to God. Romans 15:30. Do you also pray for your priests? Consider that every Catholic ought to pray for Holy Church. True, the Church is the work of God and shall not be confounded as long as the world lasts, but she is made up of human beings and is placed among them. That is why she encounters oppositions from people who are outside the pale of the Church. And what is still worse, there can arise within the Church aberrations, schisms, and scandals. While all this mischief will not cause the Church to go to ruin, yet many a soul can be lost in consequence. That is why so many prayers of the liturgy call upon God to spare His Church from all schism and error. If the welfare of the Church is truly a matter of personal concern to us, then we too will often raise our hearts in silent prayer for the Church. Consider that we ourselves must do something if our prayer for the Church and her priests is to be effective and to please God. We ourselves must be good and true children of the Church, observe her precepts faithfully, use her means of grace diligently. We must revere and love the priests, but especially the directors of our souls. Listen attentively to their teachings, follow their directions, and not pay attention to what is purely human in them, according to the example of St. Francis, who says in his testament, I will not consider any sin in them, because I behold in them the Son of God, and they are my Lord's. We must finally, as good lambs and sheep of the flock of Christ, aim to please our Lord by the Christian virtues of humility, love of God and neighbor, contempt of what is temporal, and appreciation of what is eternal. Then will our prayer also be pleasing to God and find a hearing. Prayer of the Church. O Lord Jesus Christ, friend of humility and charity, who didst inflame Blessed Jane Mary with thy love, and didst lavish upon her thy heavenly gifts, teaching her to despise the fortunes of this world, grant that we, who venerate her in celebrating her feast, may also follow her by humility and contempt of things temporal, who livest and reignest forever and ever. Blessed Jane Mary of Mailly,
pray for us.